and thank you for staying tuned to Health Matters on Channels Television. I am Mary Alale Yusuf. As at Friday, April the 9th, there were more than 134 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 globally. More than 76 million people have recovered, and the death toll is over 2.9 million. In Nigeria, there were over 163,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19, more than 154,000 recoveries, and 2,059 deaths. That's 589 new infections and 2,238 recoveries between the 3rd and the 9th, 1 week. Recovery rate is up to 94%, and case fatality rate is about 1.26%. Total samples tested are over 1.8 million, with just over 35,000 new tests during the week. When the COVID-19 pandemic started, healthcare systems were overwhelmed, putting healthcare workers at risk of a deadly disease that was little known and spreading like wildfire. Security, psychosocial, and other challenges still exist. My guest today is Assistant Director of Nursing in the Lagos State Ministry of Health and the Vice President of the West African College of Nursing, a midwife, orthopedic nurse, and head of M&E, that's Monitoring and Evaluation in the COVID-19 Response, Mrs. Shola Aketi. Wonderful to have you on the show.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here.
First question I want to ask you, you know, everybody says, oh, the healthcare system was overwhelmed. When COVID-19 hit, what really was missing? What did you need urgently that you didn't have?
Thank you very much. Once again, I want to say a very big thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here again. COVID-19 came as an uninvited guest. Mm. In 2014, it was also the same thing, imported. It's never a domesticated event. Unfortunately, we find ourselves where we are. A single case of February 27th, 2020, has now become
what we're looking at today, yeah.
It's no more an household thing, it has become global. And I want to say a very big thank you to Lagos State for being proactive at this point in time. What was not there was the standard of our healthcare system. It exposes our weaknesses. It makes us to know that resources, as been expected in healthcare, was never there. And so, gave every government or anybody in position of power to put things right. And I must tell you, man, thank God, Lagos was an epicenter. The proximity...
Because Lagos seemed to be the most prepared.
Yeah, the proximity to all these terminals, sea, air, road, name it. And so, if that's happened somewhere else, I don't know what we'll be seeing today. But thank God for the right-thinking people that are in Lagos State, for the government of Lagos State, for the governor himself, the incident manager of the state, for taking it upon himself that, yes, my people should not suffer. And look at what is happening in Lagos State. Lagos State is where they are using as the prototype of what should be applicable even at the federal level. So I give kudos to them. This was.
Okay, now, can you give an idea of how many nurses were affected? A lot of times we hear about doctors, 20 died, 800 got infected, this and that. But nurses, how many nurses were affected?
Precisely, I won't be able to say this number because our data was not that accurate. But I can tell you, over 20 nurses. Between January and February 5th this year, between December and February 5th this year, we lost about 5 nurses.
Oh, those in Lagos were the ones who died. That
yes,
your name now.
But in terms of infection. Rate, many. You're on the front line, you're the soldier. You're infected, you treat yourself just for about a few days or a week plus, and go back to work. If you decide to stay behind, who will care? I was infected too. I just called my director, I said, man, don't expect me at work. Because during that COVID, no holiday. You are an essential worker for crowd love. You are the one carrying the gun. And so, will you run away from the battle? But the only way you can do, what we try to do is to ensure that you have a secluded area. During the COVID, you don't meet with your family.
Ah, I was during about COVID, to ask that.
During the COVID, we have some partners that really helped. They came to our rescue in terms of logistics and mobility. So they convey them to where they are to rest, and they bring them back. Well, people like us, you use your car. In fact, I must tell you, there was a day my car stopped on Tommyland Bridge at 7:10 p.m. I was coming from one of the, I went to monitor one of the isolation center, Landmark to be precise, because Landmark is where we have so many guns, very important personnel. And there was this myth, this misconception about, no, it's not me. But by the time it affected one person in the family, the entire family is affected. So I've seen a family of 11, which 9 of them were affected. They are infected, they have to come to the isolation center. Meanwhile, it's not secrecy though, but it's one of the things you have signed. You must seal your mouth. Even if you see whoever is, that is of importance, because your evidence, evidently you want to care for them. So you must not start sharing their information. We are in the era of social media. So you must keep their information very optimally secretive. And that was what we did during that period. So while I was going back to the mainland, with the impression that I can get fuel, I can gas my car, at the last NNPC, unfortunately, they closed before the expected time.
Wow.
Only for me to get to the middle of the tunnel and cast off. But that's one of the risks of the job.
Oh, yes.
But I found myself through to Owuronsoke, and I threw a logistic bike that was coming, miraculously. And I was taken to the joint. I walked up to the bait guy, the police that was in charge of that bait. This is what happened to me. How do you help me out? He took me through their vehicle to fetch. I'm going to buy another gas.
And that was dangerous.
Yeah, it was. But when I got, I was sharing with my family. Wow, you won't go again as I've just started going, because some lines, my colleagues are on the field and I can't afford. My case like David, I cannot afford to stay at home. And so I thank God today that intervention really helped my colleagues. When they saw you on the field, this is our boss. Doing the, anytime they have any complaint, I listen to them. And not even only that. Beyond Lagos State, by virtue of the privilege I have as the Vice President of West African College of Nursing, I was opportune to attend the WHO conference, March precise, because capacity building is one of the things.
That's one of the things you need.
When you give the right source, the right tools for anybody to fight with, they can come out victoriously.
Can you give us an idea of the nurse-patient ratio?
The nurse-patient ratio, I will come to that. So WHO engaged us, and before we knew what happened, I asked them, can my nurses in the sub-joint come for this program, please? Because we need to impart ourselves. They said, wonderful. They welcomed the idea. We set up a committee, and before we knew it, over 852 nurses across over 8 countries were engaged twice a week for 11 weeks, 22 sessions, cutting across all the pillars of COVID.
Of course, over Zoom, I hope.
Yes, Zoom. And that's one of the things that COVID has taught us, that you can learn together on the same platform within the shortest possible time, which was not even there or was not utilized during non-COVID era. However, patient ratio team, is only in California, we say, that they have the ratio of a patient to a nurse. Nurse patient ratio is supposed to be 1-4, according to WHO.
Okay.
But depending on where you
definitely not in Nigeria.
Nigeria? When we have one nurse or two nurses to 40 bedded, critically ill. Anyway, I will come back to that. Ideally, you're supposed to have 1-1 in ICU, or maximum of 1-2.
Yes.
Depending on where you work.
That's correct, because in the isolation center,
your attention
they said they
is
have
needed
to be there.
Your
the
attention,
time
in fact,
by that
this
same
COVID,
patient.
For my colleagues that are at the ICU, I must use this opportunity to thank them. Not only them in isolation, at isolation centers, not only them, those that are doing logistics, not only them, those that are working in surveillance, not even that, those that are in the community for case contact tracing, not even that, those that are working on psychosocial. I'm thanking you all for your resilience and for being there. Nurses work marvelously, not because of what they... Let me give you an instance. During that COVID, I went to one of the facilities. A case that was referred to that facility, they didn't identify her on time. They said she had puerperal psychosis, that is the challenges women normally have after delivery.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it was a blue phone, blue book kind of. About 4 nurses out of 5 on duty were affected. Unknown to them. Until one started presenting in the form, and by the time they were all subjected to test, 4 out of 5. So we put on our thinking thinking cap. What do? We strategize our roster. We start guide. It's not everybody that should come to work now. Not even
okay,
only that.
That's how you dealt with the challenges.
Some of the seniors decided to come. They relocated to the hospital. I can tell you emphatically. They sleep practically because when they are going, they can only drive themselves. What of those that didn't have vehicle? And the available ambulance cannot take everybody home.
Didn't you have nurses with burnout? Nurses who just couldn't take it anymore in their minds?
That because of burnout being witnessed, that's why we staggered our roster. The moment, and there are some peculiar cases that once you identify with that, some that have comorbidity, diabetes mellitus, because we lost a senior nurse in one of our facilities because of the comorbidity. Once we identify with cancer, you know, people have it and they are working. It doesn't
right.
stop their life. Once they're able to come out with this, what I'm or you're pregnant, you stay at home. We don't allow you to come.
So you even had to make some nurses redundant because
not
of COVID.
Not redundant. You ask them to work from home. How do they work from home? You can give them their roster to submit to you. You can give them another they can submit online because we're in an era of technology. So technological orientation of nurses have improved significantly than before. So we make sure that you...
So nurses are more organized now?
Very organized.
What happened to other diseases? You know, the handling of other diseases when it was as if everything was about COVID-19?
Thank you very much. I won't let out your or leave out that your first question, which is ratio.
Okay.
In psychiatry, it's about 1 to 6.
Okay.
But Nigeria is more than that. In surgical area, relatively 1 to 10, because after surgery,
that's the recommended.
That after yes, recommended. Okay. You can cope with them. In Africa, you don't use the same indices with that of European, because in Africa, you know all these challenges, but we're able to weather the storm. I can tell you emphatically, as I'm talking, it's usually 2 to 35 patients. Mm. Let me use Lagos, for instance. 2. But areas like Lasuth, they have a place they call BT, for instance. They about 16 bedded to two nurses at a time.
Okay, that's a bit better.
A bit better. But you can never tell the kind of
cases that will that come up. Yes.
There. So burnout is inevitable during COVID-19. But back to the question you asked me. COVID-19 is not the only disease nurses concentrate on. Recently, we just finished a virtual conference, 3 days, 23rd to 25th of March, involving or on what? On cancer prevention, cervical cancer, awareness and prevention of cervical cancer.
So are you saying other diseases didn't suffer a bit of neglect?
No. From nurses' point of view, because we ensure that it's encompassing. If you have, like emergency, if you are coming to emergency with another thing, will you say because COVID is outside, I won't treat you? No, I only take my precaution. The precautionary measure I'm supposed to put in place is what I need to, which we don't have before, but through the drafting of SOP, which will soon be legalized.
Standard operating procedures.
Will soon be made known to the entire populace. So we are able to keep to that. And I must tell you, I'm saying it again, Lagos is really trying. Not for any other thing, because of my involvement.
Okay, we've got to take a break. Stay with us while we take a short break and meet you again on the other side. Welcome back. We're looking at COVID-19 through the eyes of nurses, some of the people who are closest to the patients. This is Health Matters, and you can call 0808-054-2233. It will be showing on your screen. If you have questions for the guest, you can also tweet at @CTV_MaryA. And talking about the patients, there were reports that some nurses were attacked by relatives of COVID-19, a COVID-19 patient, specifically in Owo, you know, and it was quite serious. 2 of them had to be hospitalized. Were you seeing a lot of this?
I must tell you that nurses, if there's anybody they should praise in the healthcare sector, it's nurses. Why are we having attrition today in healthcare delivery system? It's because no value creation, no concern for nurses. And so they decide to go to where it matters. The same nurse that they say is bad in Nigeria. When you travel,
she becomes a hero.
And everybody, oh, my nurse, my daughter is in the US. The daughter you don't appreciate as a nurse. Why? The societal fixed mindset. Oh, she's a nurse. Because she's a nurse, she cannot make anything. I'm sorry. I'm a product of God's blessing to my family and my immediate environment.
But I don't understand how people were attacking nurses.
So attacking the nurses is not only today.
Okay.
It's transferring.
Let me hold you on for a minute. There's a phone call coming in. Hello, Yusuf.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. What's your question?
Yes, she has talked very well about you know, how nurses work, you know, in this COVID era. So she has not mentioned about their welfare. How are they being taken care of? Are they being, you know, when doctors are on strike, that means nurses are not well being, taken care of. So let us talk on that.
Thank you very much, Yusuf. You have a fan there.
Thank you, Yusuf. I really appreciate you. Like I said, often the nurses, they are being molested for no just cause. We have seen nurses under the bridge of Ikeja because the relative died. Before that case, what happened? Many of them are taking them to private setting and they didn't get the real diagnosis. So the last bus stop is the public setting. And they want miracle. The next attack comes to the nurses.
Okay.
No infrastructure to work with.
Okay.
Just managing, we call something improvisation lowers the standard of any organization. Because nurses need to give the care. The same nurse that will leave her family for more than 24 hours just for her to give the care instead of abuse. The abuse we receive from workplace is more, but we don't give a damn. I'm only after making sure you get better. When you get better, thank you, we come for you.
But what about welfare, living standard, like Yusuf is asking?
Like the one you refer to, many have been beaten. Nurses are being molested. There's no proper welfare package. You see nurses, if they manage to have a car, recruiter, second hand, Tokumbo. The question now is there no place? They don't have enough opportunity to even ask for loan because what they are bearing is much more. Often that nurses are not considered to be one of those that should be a voice. For instance, they said it's no more presidential task force. How many nurses do you have in that task force? Their welfare-wise, during the COVID, there was a time we have to. What we tried to do was some nurses to start giving palliatives, supporting what the government is doing. For instance, West African College was not went out their way to support these nurses with what they can, in terms of PPE. Another time, my colleagues, NANA, North American, National Association of Nurses at North America, decided to come and give palliative and support to nurses at the isolation center. All because they find out, well, the government cannot do it alone. Let's give our own support. Nurses are doing that. So their welfare should be looked into. They should have a special package. Now you could see some doctors are on strike. Well, they have their reason. Nurses can never go on strike because it's like a commission. It's like a passion for care that I'm here, I've signed it. But unfortunately, rather than being encouraged, you are doing well. Oh, some are doing though. You find them being abused for what they are not supposed to. So it's the system that needs to be changed and we should change our mindset as well. Don't use an inductive generalization for the entire nurses. I'm happy I'm a nurse, and I'm enjoying the beauty of it. Because of this, my work, I'll be able to travel out of the shop.
Okay, now that vaccines are out,
sure,
with healthcare workers at the head of the queue. By the way, have you got your jab?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the general feeling now, the general, you know, approach to work now that nurses have got the first jab? Have you noticed any difference in attitude or anything?
Before now, there is fear of unknown, both to the carer and the one receiving the care. But because of our interactions and our engagement, we're able to do a lot of advocacy. Advocacy, are we using the leaders, be it religious leaders or traditional leaders, somebody that understands, because culture is dynamic. You don't divide a man from his own culture. So that's as much as we could to talk to them through these leaders. And for all I can tell you, clients are now coming to the hospital. Before they ran away.
Okay, so it's all better now.
Quite better.
Let's take a call from Ehis. Hello, Ehis.
Yeah, I would like to speak with the medical woman on board.
Go right ahead.
Okay, you see, I look at most of these nurses, they are very aging. You know, she was making the language that they abuses them or this, that. In the Western world, nurse, no matter what the patient do, it's not with his clear eye. You know, at times the patients can be grieved and talk to you or abuse you anyhow. But you as a medical person, person, you need to give that attention. You don't look at that to punish the patient.
Thank you very much. I'll let Mrs. Aketi handle
that. Thank you very much, ma'am. Sir, there was something I learned in one of my exchange knowledge with India. They have grief counselors.
Mm.
Each grief counselor, the state, they have them according to their direct or to their specialty. Because it's expected that the relatives you are expecting to come out well, eventually you lost the person. And so they want to transfer the aggression. It's not for me to start reacting. Many people that's why we increase the knowledge. Majority of the least you can have in nursing now is BSc, except for those that are on their way out of the system.
So do they also give you grief counseling as well?
So training, that's what we're introducing now, that let there be a grief counselor. It's an era where psychosocial-wise, everybody is so low, our morale is low. So we need to upgrade it. So what do? We mediate by calling the grief counselor to start preparing the mind of the relatives. Paraventure stage 4, for instance, of cancer. So it's only by miracle. So we're advocating that there should be a grief counselor, and we do a lot of capacity building for our nurses in order to commensurate with whatever they are meeting over there. I can tell you, we lost a nurse because of this, with 5 children, a widow, in one of our facilities here in Lagos, about 7 years ago. And nothing happened to now. So we wouldn't want those children could be a challenge to the society if nothing is done for them. So we are trying to make sure that psychosocial-wise, of recent, we have an engagement of about 3.5 hours, 3-4 days ago, Zoom, to entire nurses in Lagos. One of it is psychosocial, interpersonal relationship, role conflict, discipline, name it all.
And the nurses themselves need these services.
So I said the nurses.
As well as the patients.
The nurses are the one we had this interaction within ourselves in order to ensure that you are there to deliver. Quality delivery entails safety, timeliness, effectiveness, efficiency. And it should be equitable, irrespective of who I'm giving it to. So we are trying to ensure that we talk to ourselves in that manner. Even if you have known before, it's like reminding ourselves that the life of this patient depends on you. Do the needful.
I must thank you for coming to the show. Thank you so much. This has been so good. And of course, as usual, there's so much to say. You have to come back another time. Thank you, Mrs. Aketi, for being my guest. Thank you for being my guest at home to all of you and for calling in, Yusuf and Ehiz. Have a wonderful day. I am Mary Alale Yusuf.